Welcome to Pilates Elephants. I'm Raphael Bender. Here we are in our Pilates Elephants virtual studio, and I'm here with Nicole Mazurkovich. Nicole, welcome.
Hey, Raph. Great to see you or speak to you.
Yeah, well, both. We can see each other and speak to each other, although sadly Pilates Elephants listeners can only hear you and hear me, but yeah, it is what it is.
It is.
So we're here to talk about finding your niche, or if you're in the US, finding your niche.
Niche, that's true. Mm. To niche or to niche.
Yeah. Set up this conversation for us, please.
Yeah, Nick. Sure. So I have been thinking about this a lot probably the last 3 to 6 months since I read the book that you put out.
I'm sorry, Nick. I'm sorry to jump in there. I've just been super remiss. It's like the people out in the Pilates stratosphere are just going, well, who the heck is this Nicole person? And like, what? So, could you just introduce yourself, please?
Right. I'll zoom back a little bit. So, my name's Nicole Mazurkovich. I have worked with Raph and Breathe since 2009 in various roles and positions. I have taught Pilates for most of those years as well. I first did my Pilates teacher training at Breathe Education and worked with the studio Breathe Wellbeing for many, many years. Started teaching as a trainer as well, and have done that for many, many years. And I have recently returned from an extended maternity leave and am back with students in this virtual education that we have, which is super cool. And yeah, I've just been thinking a lot about just how we see and how we're working with the content lately, and how that's how we're also supporting our students with getting a job and putting themselves out there.
All right, great. Thanks for that introduction. And so, yeah, now set up the episode.
So for today's episode, I have been thinking a lot about when we learn to teach, a group of people, and we learn to support as many types of people in that one class as possible. So we aim to support people who have got varying fitness experiences and varying strengths and weaknesses, flexibilities. We also include clients or students who have pain or injuries, prenatal clients, and all everybody has a place in a Pilates room, absolutely. And we learn to support and deliver sessions and classes to everybody at the same time. And then at the end of your course, if you're looking at moving into having your own business, or you're looking at starting your own classes, I've also observed that there's a lot of talk about finding your niche or your niche, which is kind of not the same thing as having everybody and teaching them all at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I know personally, like, I have taught everybody and facilitated everybody at the same time for so long that when it's like, what is your passion and what are you excited about, or what is your specialty? It is including everybody. So when it comes to like, what is your niche? It's like the same as many of our listeners here, most Pilates instructors who've been teaching for a long time are used to that way as well. It's like, what is my niche or my niche? What is my specialty? And some people know that. They're like you, for example, Raph, like, I know that helping people with through pain and navigate through pain with exercise, like, everybody probably who's ever heard your name know that that's your passion. Whereas other people, their passion is Pilates and helping people. So how do you then go from that and figure out what your niche or your niche is and what your specialty is? And so, you know, yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about today.
Mm. Well, this is very timely for me as well, because I've actually, I would say, evolved my thinking a little bit on this question quite recently. So I think the concept, one of the places where people struggle with this concept of niching down or niching down is how far to niche down, right? So do you help, you know, one-legged single mothers who smoke a pack a day, you know, living in a small Midwestern town, you know, with 3 to 5 kids you know, or do you just like help anyone who loves Pilates, you know, or somewhere in between those extremes?
Yeah.
And so what is the correct level of niching down? And I think where I've evolved my thinking recently is that I think there is no one correct level. I think that the level of how far you niche down depends on the brand recognition of Pilates where you live or where your clients, you know, where you find your clients, whether that's online or whatever. So, yeah. So I think it's a moving scale of how far you should niche down. And for some people, just like people who love Pilates, is enough.
Right. So it's partially to do with your personal brand, partially to do with population size in that particular niche. Like if that, you know, a really specific niche, there's still a million people in there. Is that what you're talking
about? Well, I don't want to, you know, one of our values, one of my core values, one of our company values is simplicity. And I really do like to make things as simple as possible, but not simpler. And yeah, so at the risk of introducing too much nuance into this conversation, I think there's also a distinction there between what you market, like so the message you put out, for instance, on social media or in your advertising or whatever, versus your offer, or let's say, versus your niche, right? And so your offer might be, you know, try your first three Pilates classes for $30, right, or whatever, which doesn't really say about why you're different necessarily. And so that would be like your niche for everybody who loves Pilates, who's in your area or whatever, right? So, you know, if you're in this area and you love Pilates, come try three classes for $30. So that's really a broad niche. But you might have a brand, you know, a brand that is quite specific. Like, so like, for example, with Breathe Education, we help anyone who loves Pilates and wants to become a Pilates teacher, become a Pilates teacher. We don't care if you're young, old, fat, thin, tall, short, flexible, strong, what, like, we don't care. Take all comers, right? So we don't just help, you know, postmenopausal women, or although we do help a lot of postmenopausal women, like we don't go after a particular age group or, you know, demographic or whatever. We don't help people only who live in a certain country or, you know, anything like that. But, you know, having said that, we have a very particular culture and very particular set of values about how we go about teaching people to be Pilates instructors that is probably not for everyone, you know. And so I think that, yes, our offer is like, well, if you love Pilates and you want to become a Pilates instructor, we can help you with that, right? And we don't go any more deep, we don't go any more specific than that. But really, we are very niched down in how we deliver the training, you know, because it's online and it's very science-based and it's, you know, there's all of, it's no BS and it's all of these things like the, that are very, very different to the way that most Pilates education is delivered. So I think, you know, the parallel for that in a studio would be, it's like, okay, if you live in XYZ city and you love Pilates, well, come do Pilates with us because we'd love to have you here, right? So that's a bit like you're young, old, fat, thin, tall, short, male, female, whatever, doesn't matter. But when you get there, if it's like, okay, you go to Poison Strength Pilates and everything's like pink lame and mirrored disco balls and, you know, I'm going to walk in there and go like, you know, I can respect this, but it's not really my vibe. You know,
my daughter would love disco balls and pink. Oh my God. She's four and she is like four going on 14. She would be in heaven.
Right. So but it's nothing to do with the Pilates itself, right? Or who you serve, right? It's like, it's, well, you serve people if you're, you know, if you're Tiffany Burke, you serve people who like mirror balls and pink spandex, right? It's like, great, you know, awesome. But it's like, it's not about the Pilates. It's about the stuff that goes around the Pilates.
So I think that just to kind of contextualize all of that, Raph. I came in here thinking that the differentiating point that we need to kind of figure out for an individual or a business is the niche or the niche. But there's actually quite a few different ways that you would differentiate yourself. It could be market, it could be your offer, your niche, your brand, your business culture and values. And there's lots of different ways on how you might express or position yourself as an individual, so an entrepreneur or a business owner, a studio owner. I've recently been listening to Matthew McConaughey's Green Lights or something? I can't remember the name of it. But he talked about how to find your specific vibe or frequency by looking at the things that you are not, as opposed to trying to figure out what you are. Because I have sat down numerous times, like if I were to do this, you know, if I'm going to help students to figure that out, like I need to be able to know how to do it for myself. If I were to do this, I sit down and I have a piece of paper and I'm like, where do I start? It feels so big. Like, how do I go from any possibility? Because I couldn't do anything. I'm so used to being malleable and doing anything, me personally, right? How would I narrow that down into my, I guess the word I'd use was niche, because that's what I associate with uniqueness, but it could be anything. It could be the way I show up at work or how I like to work, or, you know, there's a lot of different ways that you would differentiate yourself, right?
Mm. So if, again, I think it depends on how competitive the market is that you're in, right? So if you're like in some small rural town and there's literally no Pilates there, all you have to do is say like Pilates and they'd be like, okay, great. Well, I can either drive 100 miles to do it in the bigger town or I can do it with you, right? So your differentiating factor is you're here, right? So you don't.
As long as people in a rural town know what Pilates is, like it's growing globally, but it's not in every single.
Right. All right. So if there's recognition of Pilates, if people know what Pilates is and you're the only one there, it's like, well, great, you've got a monopoly. If they don't know what Pilates is, well, then you have to niche. That's when you have to niche and you have to say, okay, I help people overcome back pain, or I help people get fit and strong after 40, or I help people, you know, get more energy and sleep better or whatever. Like I help people, you know, achieve some kind of result, right? So I help this particular person. And you don't have to, like if you're in a small rural town, I wouldn't go, you know, too specific because you've only got like a couple of thousand people in the town. It's like, don't cut out most of those people. I help people like get fit, you know, without driving 50 miles to the nearest gym, right? Might be your point of difference. So I think you should niche down as far as you need to so that people recognize that you're different, but not further than you need to. Because if you niche down further than you need to, then what you're doing is excluding people who you otherwise could have served and just saying, oh no, I'm only for, you know, people in this age, in this age bracket and with this number of kids and this, you know, this color hair and whatever. And it's like, well, you're cutting out 80% of your market and now you're just making it hard for you and them. So, so how specific do you need to be for people to see you as meaningfully different, right? So let's go to the other extreme and just say you're in Melbourne or Sydney and you're on a street in some kind of inner city hipster suburb and it's you and then like four other Pilates studios in the same block, right? Mm-hmm. And you're all offering like group reformer with 10 to 14 machines and there's a pumping electronic.
Same times of day, right. Same intro offer,
same vibe. Same like beautiful designer vibe, same instructors wearing the same Lululemon, you know, matching sets, same electronic, you know, dance music, you know, soundtrack, everything's the same. It's like, okay, well, what do you have to do? How far do you have to niche down for the consumers to see you as meaningfully different, right? Because you might see your studio as meaningfully different, just like you see your kids as meaningfully different. But to someone who doesn't know your kids or anyone else's kids, all kids look the same, all cows in the field look the same. Yeah, all Pilates studios look the same, right?
Yeah.
So, how far do you have to differentiate yourself so that someone who doesn't know or care about your business walking down the street would go, "Huh, that's different." You know, that's not the same as those other ones.
So to zoom out again, Raph, what I'm hearing here is that the first step isn't so much understanding yourself and your own specialty. The first thing is understanding the market that you're going to be teaching in. How, you know, one, do they know Pilates, or is there a Pilates studio on every corner? You know, then, and there's worlds in between that. So where am I going to be teaching, online or face-to-face, like bricks and mortar? And then once you understand that, it's like, okay, well, what is that going to look like? Like, who is my market? Who is my people? If it's people in the same time zone, like what is, you know, online is very different to in person. It's easier to figure out your market when it's a geographical thing, because you can look at the people around, you can look at the space, and you can see whether there's a studio or 20 studios in the same kind of size. And then you can go from there. And you can go, okay, Pilates, what's going to be the reason that they go do Pilates? Do they know what it is? Do they not know what it is? If they don't know what it is, you give them, your niche, which is, you know, get them fit or get rid of pain without driving 50 kilometers. If there's the other end of the spectrum where there's four Pilates studios on the same block with all very similar kind of look and feel, how does Mary or John on the street know which one they would go to, right? And that's where you have to be a bit more specific. What about if you're teaching online and you want to start online, but how do you, you know, what does it then look like for figuring out what your market is?
Yeah. So I think another thing that is, you know, is easy to overlook in this thought process about niche, you know, and finding your market is, like, sometimes it doesn't have to be a separate group of people. Like, I serve this particular group of people. It might just be you just do the same thing as everyone else does for the same market everyone else does, but you just do it a little bit better, right? So, for instance, you know, you do like online Pilates, same as every other online Pilates place, but your booking system is just way easier to use, right? Mm. And it's like that is a big enough difference to have people switch to you if you can get them to try it and go, holy crap, this is way easier than my other clunky one where I have to email the person and she's got some kind of spreadsheet and she gets back to me 2 days later and all this. And I can just book in and pay and join the class like in 5 minutes now on my own on my phone without a problem. Like, that's enough of a point of differentiation. Just do the same thing everyone else does, but just faster or better or easier or cheaper or, you know, more options or better parking, you know, like all of these things. Like, I've changed massage therapists because one talked too much, you know, and the other one had a checkbox on the form that said, do you prefer talking or silence? And I checked silence and I was like, this is amazing, you know.
You can actually relax. What chances?
You know, and so that person played the same whale music, gave me the same, you know, used the same aromatherapy oils, had the same massage techniques, you know, same booking systems, everything the same. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, I didn't have to put up with their chatter for an hour. It's like, bam, right. Sold, you know.
Right. So that could be, you know, for someone who has the market where there's four studios on the same block, maybe their point of difference is, you know, we don't talk much in our classes. So if you just want to focus on moving, come move with us.
Right. Or if you go to those three, you know, I mean, obviously you should check out your competitors and you go to their, you know, you go to their websites and they're all like, you know, pastel colors and, you know, ladies with, you know, trim physiques in matching, you know, active wear, and nothing wrong with ladies in active wear and all of that, you know, love that. It's all fantastic. But just say that's what they are, like, be something different, you know. What if yours wasn't pastel colors? And what if yours a bit more rough and ready with, you know, a few more tattoos and a bit more rock and roll or something, right? And what if your music soundtrack at the classes wasn't the same as theirs? Like, you played, I don't know, hits of the 80s and 90s or something, right, instead of like electronic dance music. Like, you know, appeal to people. Like, okay, there are people that go in and love that, right? They love that vibe and it's a great vibe, right? But there are some people that go in and go, I freaking hate this music. Where's, you know, back in my day, this wasn't the music we enjoyed. So just something that, you know, what would, if something annoyed someone about those studios, what would it be, right? And cater to that, you know?
Mm. Yeah. Just reminding me of this talk actually makes me think of cafes, about, you know, everyone could serve the same awesome coffee and the same, you know, eggs benedict or, you know, yes, avocado, smashed avocado, you know, all these kinds of very similar kind of meals. And then you go to one and it's got like dark and moody and I swear there's coffee stains everywhere. And another one's got that real Parisian feel and it's really clean and everyone has the same kind of apron. But But everything else is basically the same. It's just the presentation.
Right.
It's the wrapping paper. It's the other stuff.
Right. Or maybe there's three of them that all have that lovely Parisian feel, right? And the same pastries and the same coffee and the same Eggs Benedict. But two of them are on the sunny side of the street and they get direct afternoon sun and you're sitting there blinded, and the other one's on the shady side of the street and you've got this beautiful vista, you know, looking out over the park, right?
Mm.
And watching the passers-by, right? Or one of them's on a major intersection and all you can see is semi-trailers, you know, driving past going, so, like, it might just be as simple as, like, does it get afternoon sun or not? You know, I mean, I know when I wander down to a cafe, that's a big consideration. I don't go to the sunny side of the street and get sun in my eyes while I'm drinking my coffee.
You might in winter.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, strokes for folks, right? So it's, I guess, you know, the bigger point is you don't have to think like, oh, I've got unique branding and a unique menu and unique coffee recipes. And, you know, it could just be everything's the freaking same, right? Just a better view or, you know, quicker service or, you know, like what would happen if you just went in and got served straight away, no questions asked, and you got the right thing every time? Like, that could be a pretty big point of differentiator for a cafe in some areas.
Yeah. And I think, you know, thinking about application of this out in the world, you know, if you're really spending a lot of time trying to figure out your market and figure out your niche and your offer, you're kind of wasting time by trying to nail it down. You kind of need to just start anywhere and then kind of go from there and tweak and fine tune and figure out that stuff as you go.
Well, I think
if you're online, but if you're in person, obviously there's a lot of decisions you would need to make right beforehand.
Yeah. I mean, I think also like when you say about, I agree. I think also when you say about like it doesn't come from yourself though, going back to what you said before, I think it kind of does, but not in the way, I agree with you what you say about like I don't think it comes from yourself in the way that people think it does. Like it's not this kind of like meditating and thinking like, okay, it just came to me in a vision. I want to help, you know, one-legged triathletes, you know, whatever. Like it's not something like that. It's just like be yourself and people will be repelled by that and other people will be attracted by it. Mm. And it's like, you know, Heath, who has a Pilates studio, when you go to his Pilates studio, I mean, it's a beautiful studio because his partner Joe mainly runs it. But back in the day before Joe was his partner in the studio, he had this building in Footscray, which was like virtually a condemned, you know, factory that was like, it was super like low rent, you know. It was like the set of some like Chicago police drama or something where they have the shootout, you know.
Love it.
And it was just this massive big warehouse that was, you know, like huge. It was like four times the size of his Pilates studio. His Pilates studio was in this tiny corner of it. And he did it all up with like unpainted particle board and, you know, it was so, and concrete floors and, like,
it had that real New York loft kind of vibe.
New York loft,
it
but
was simple.
It was, but it wasn't like polished. It was super gritty. It was like a New York loft in the 1980s before they were cool. Mm. Like, you know, when it was just a, you know, you couldn't get the landlord to fix the heating or whatever.
Yeah.
It was like that. And there were, you know, sometimes you thought, was that a bit of the ceiling just fell on the floor over there? Like, but that, and so that is totally opposite to what most Pilates studios were doing with their kind of beautiful, crafted, sculpted, Vogue Living kind of vibe. Mm-hmm. But that worked for Heath's clients, right? They were his clients are the people
that
who
area.
Appreciated that.
Yeah.
Right. And so, but he didn't set out and create a mood board and get inspiration and think about, okay, I'm going to design it and get this brand of particle board and then I'm going to get this brand of, you know, masonry to fall off the ceiling or anything. Like he just went in and that's, he did the renovations himself, like in between class times. And that's just how, like, he didn't think of doing it any other way. Cause that's, if he lived there and that was his home, that's what he would have done. You know, like that's just who he is. And so it wasn't like intentional. It was just like, he didn't think there was another way to do it. So he just was himself. He didn't go and look at everyone else's studio and go, how do I create something exactly like that? He was just like, oh, I'm just, the particle board's on special this week, so I'm going to go get that, you know.
Yeah. So it got started and then was like, I need to create a defined area, or, you know, he noticed the first thing that he could work on, and then he did the first thing he could work on with the first thought that he had, basically.
Right. And it was just him, right? And so, and when I say it was just him, I mean, it was his personality made into physical form in that studio, mm-hmm. you know, like utilitarian under, like underexpressed, you know, very, you know, muted, like not bold colors, and, mm-hmm. but really worked. Like it really, really worked. And so, you know, I think, and so that was a point of differentiation. I'm sure a lot of people over the years would have walked in there and gone, oh, this is terrible. Where's the designer tea station, and where's the, you know, all of the air conditioning and all the rest of it. But a lot of people walked in there and went, oh, this is freaking cool, you know.
Mm. Or they weren't even expecting it, because it looked like a warehouse on the outside, right? So if you walked in and had all of that, that would have been unexpected.
Right.
As opposed to expected. But I totally get what you're saying about being yourself. And I think that, you know, going back to what you said earlier about the matching, you know, sportswear and the different kinds of smells and sounds, if that's not even you as a person, then that shouldn't be part of the way that you do things either.
Right. And if it is you as a person,
a darn thing.
And if it is you as a person, do it. Like, that's awesome. Nothing wrong with matching activewear. Like,
yeah, it's awesome. But if there are a lot of people, I think, in the world who feel nervous about that, they feel anxious about their outfit, clients, and I'm sure many instructors on some level feel that as well. And I think if you are that instructor, then there are a lot of people like you in the world, and you can tailor it to those people by just not having that as a thing at your studio, right. Being more rock and roll, being more you.
So, you know, I think if you're in an area where Pilates has good branding, right? And you know that because people are Google searching Pilates. Like, there's a tool called Google Keyword Planner tool, which you just Google it, Google Keyword Planner. And it basically tells you how many people are searching for a certain thing in a certain area, right? You can say, how many people search for Pilates Reformer classes in Boston or whatever location, right? And so if you know, if you're getting like 1,000 searches a month or more in it, that's, you know, that means that's a lot of people want that thing, right? So if you were to set up a Pilates studio in Boston, and you know, okay, there's whatever number, I'm just making up a number, let's say there's 10,000 searches a month in Boston for Pilates, right? Mm-hmm. Well, all right, so you don't have to go out and explain to people what Pilates is, right? They already know, they're already looking for it. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to say, oh, fix your back pain, come try my sessions, right? They already know all of why Pilates is awesome, and they're already convinced, they're looking for Pilates. So you don't, all you say is like, come do Pilates, right? But so what you have to convince them of is not that Pilates is good, but why they should do Pilates with you instead of the other four people on your block who also are saying, come do Pilates.
Come to do Pilates with me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Awesome. So going back to the very beginning of this conversation, you know, there are some people who know what their niche is. You know, they're really passionate about back pain and Pilates, and for them, it's a no-brainer how they would position themselves. Some people are really passionate about perinatal Pilates, and that's what their niche is. And that is awesome if you know what that is really clearly without thinking about it. And if you don't, that's also awesome, because there's so many other ways that you can differentiate doing Pilates with you. It might be your customer service. It might be your something to do with ease of working with you. It might be part of your skill set that is different or unique to others. Maybe you cue a lot more. Maybe you cue a lot less. Might be your taste in music. It might be your just the way you set up a space, being it more relaxing, more rock and roll. Like, you get to tailor it to whatever it is that is you, whether it is a specific client or just a specific way of showing up in the world.
Yeah.
And that is pretty much it in a nutshell. Is there anything that I'm missing in the how to go from not knowing to getting started?
Well, I think the, you know, be yourself is like probably such a fantastic place to start, and it's much easier said than done, because there is a lot of perceived pressure to not be yourself. And I think a lot of people actually become Pilates instructors in a moment of self-discovery where they realize, oh, I've been an accountant or a banker or a lawyer or whatever, you know, because I thought I should, because people thought I should have a career and whatever, but actually I never really loved it. And I really love Pilates. And now I'm just, fuck it. I'm just going to do something for me that I love doing, that brings me joy and that gives me satisfaction. So it's kind of, this is the first step to doing, you know, to being yourself, right? To not being what you think other people want you to be. But I think even within Pilates, people then adopt a persona and go, okay, well, if I'm going to be a Pilates instructor, I should wear activewear and do my hair in a certain way and like a certain style of music and have a certain style of decor in my studio and, you know, all of these other, you know, drink green smoothies and, you know, do Instagram story reels of, you know, day in the life of a Pilates instructor. So, you know, it's like, no, you don't have to do any of those things, you know?
Yeah, I love what you said though about it's often when you take this step to becoming a Pilates instructor, it's often your first step to unraveling who you are, as a, because, you know, as well, from when we're young, we're being conditioned just by those around us, any encounter we have, everything around us shapes who we are. And then you get to a point in your life where you start to question all of that and you unravel it and you recreate yourself. And for a lot of people, becoming a Pilates instructor is a big step in that direction. So, you know, being yourself, you know, it's a work in progress. So who you are today and who you are in 5, 10, all of that's going to change. So, you know, remove the pressure is what I want to just put out, a public service announcement of being yourself as this, you know, you got to carve it in stone. This is who I am. It's like who you are is a work in progress, especially if you are just starting to question things and the way you see the world, the way you show up. And, you know, it's a journey. And so by being yourself, you're giving yourself permission to be yourself. You're giving your clients permission to be themselves. And it's just, this is just the beginning of that. So
I think there's like, wet to your other question about, you know, like, is that all there is? I think, well, no, there, I think there is, you know, there is another step which will make things much better for you as a business owner or even like a solopreneur or whatever, that if you can articulate your, what's different about you in like 5 words or less, right? So, all right. So if you think about our business, Breathe Education, okay, we do, you know, we do Pilates instructor training and that makes us the same as every other Pilates instructor, you know, saying it that way makes us the same as every other Pilates educator, right?
Sure.
So, and you could, you know, and if you said to me, Nicola, well, what's different about you guys? And I could say, oh, well, we believe in science and we have these values and we blah, blah, blah. And, you know,
still the same.
It's the same, right?
Everyone's the same.
But if I said to you, like, all of our courses are 100% online and live, right? That is different. And no other Pilates educator does that. And that is something that's different from in the perception of someone in the public, right? Someone who doesn't know anything about Pilates education or any brand names in the industry or anything like that. If you say, well, we're the world's only educator who does live online Pilates training, right? Like it's not hybrid. It's not like you go in to do in-studio days and then you do some online, and it's not just online like pre-recorded classes, follow along at your own pace. It's live online, right? No one else does that. Bam, that's different, right? So that's going to repulse some people. And it's going to attract other people, right? And that's what you want with your point of difference. And so if you can find a point of difference that you can clearly articulate in like 5 words or less, right, that's when people go, oh, when, you know, when they say, well, why should I come to you instead of the other 3 studios on your block? And you say, because our booking system is 10 times faster than theirs, or because you get free parking, or because we have mums and bubs classes at 9:30 in the morning. Or because, you know, we do high intensity reformer, or because, you know, like what is a thing that they can go, oh yeah, I looked at their timetable, didn't have high intensity on it. Or I went to there and there was no parking, or I tried to book and it was really fucking shitting me because I just couldn't figure out how to use the system. Right. So something that you can point to that's tangible, that is not like a sort of like, you know, true, you know, love and pixie dust sort of like, oh, you know, we believe in the value of, you know, this, that, and the other. It's like, well, that might be true, But like, what's something that person could go, oh yeah, I can see that. That's different. Like that's different.
Is that the same as an elevator pitch? The same sort of thing or not?
Yeah, it's Well, an elevator pitch is. Yeah, it's there's a lot of overlap between that. An elevator pitch, I would say, is like the 30-second or even 10-second, pitch of what you help people do. So our elevator pitch, our point of difference is we're 100% online, right?
Right.
Now, we've got other points of difference. You know, if we wanted to have a one-hour conversation about it, we could explain all of them. But, like, most people don't care enough, you know, to give you an hour to explain how different you are. It's like if you can't explain it in 5 seconds or less, they don't want to know.
So
I think having a very, very succinct way of expressing what makes you different is is important. But that's not all that goes into an elevator pitch, because that doesn't say the benefit to the user, right? So if you and I were in an elevator and you said, what do you do? I would give you my elevator pitch, you know, before we get to the fourth floor. And I would say, well, Nicole, I help people who love Pilates and who hate their job change themselves into Pilates instructors in 20 weeks, 100% online.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so that tells you,
very clear.
That tells you who I help, what I help them achieve and how I help them achieve it.
The who, what, and hows.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're that person that is thinking like, gee, I hate my job and I love Pilates, you're going to go, huh, tell me more about that. Right.
Yeah.
So you know that that's for you if you're that person. And that's the elevator pitch, but it really just says like, here's the basic thing I do. I help people become Pilates instructors, right? That makes me the same as every other Pilates educator, but here's how I do it different, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. So your point of difference is part of it.
It's part of it, but it's got to be wrapped in a benefit to the person, right? So 100% online in 20 weeks, you know, that tells you about how it's going to be convenient and, you know, quick and all of those, you know, good benefits that you want.
Yeah, awesome, Raf.
So, you know, it might be like if you're a Pilates studio owner, it might be I help, you know, people in XYZ suburb, you know, build, you know, get in the best shape of their life in 45 minutes a week.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I help people who hate gyms, you know, love exercise. Or, you know, I help people who don't have time to fuck around with booking systems, you know, get into class on time. You know, so, yeah, so I think.
I reckon you could do an activity, Raf, where you write 99 elevator pitches in, you know, 60 minutes or less, easily.
I think it's really important that you develop this, but I think it's like to get something, I mean, you know, we've all heard that sort of a probably apocryphal quote from Mark Twain, which says, you know, sorry, this letter was so long, I didn't have time to make it short, you know, which is like to say, to get something really succinct like that, like I help people who love Pilates to be transforming themselves into Pilates instructors in 20 weeks, 100% online, right? That's taken years of, you know, refinement and thought and, you know, years. And so, yeah, sorry, this elevator pitch was too long. I didn't have time to make it short yet is fine. You know, when you start out, it'll be like, okay, here's my 25-minute essay on, you know, what I do and who I help and everything. But then you've got to keep refining it down to the bare bones. You're like, if it was in, you know, a dinosaur that died in the Sahara Desert, you know, 200,000 years ago or whatever. I mean, I'm probably getting the timelines very wrong, but, you know, just the bleached bones, right? Just nothing left, the bare essentials. You've got to refine it down. So like something that a taxi driver on the way to the airport would understand straight away, because it doesn't require any context. There's no jargon. There's no, you know, qualification of anything. It's just really simple, short words, short sentences, short paragraphs, plain English. It's very obvious. Anyone could walk into the room and go, oh yeah, I can see your training's online and theirs is not. Like that's a really obvious difference, you know?
Yeah. Right.
We done?
I think we are. I think we've had a pretty solid conversation about all things differentiating yourself, whether it's your niche or your niche or your point of difference. We've had a look at markets, elevator pitches, not picture as in a picture on a wall, pitch as in.
As in like a sales pitch.
Yeah, a sales pitch. Yeah, I think we've looked at people who know what their niche is or niches and those who don't. And I think we've got some clarity around or support around what you could do to figure out how you might be different. So, yeah, I think we've had a pretty awesome conversation, Raf.
Well, thanks, Nicole. I always enjoy talking with you.
Me too.
See ya.
Thank you.
Hey, if you're enjoying the show, if you've found value in this, if this has enhanced your life, which I hope it has, I'd be super grateful if you'd rate and review this podcast on whatever podcast app you're listening on. That really would make a difference. That would help more people find the podcast and help me help more people become better, happier, and more financially successful Pilates instructors. So if you haven't yet, please go ahead, rate and review podcast. And thanks very much. I deeply appreciate it.